Yes, indeed. Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. It's President's Day. Yes, indeed. A day where we celebrate the birthdays of all 44 presidents ever since Lyndon Johnson was president and signed that legislation. All presidents' birthdays are always on a Monday, and it's always in February. It's not always the same day. We're going to have fun with that today. In fact, later on in the show, a young man will be with us who's doing a show tonight where he will honor all 44 presidents. We'll talk to him a little bit later in the show. With me in the first half to talk about a very exciting show that they have going on over at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. The show is called Swan Lake. It's produced by the Kansas City Ballet, and with us to tell us all about it is the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet Company, Devin Carney. He is with us to talk about their show Swan Lake, the beautiful Swan Lake, which they will be doing starting this Friday, the 19th at 7:30, and it will then be on for, is it 3 weekends, basically? The 2 weekends, with 2 performances on Saturday the 27th, by the way, as well. So a pretty heavy schedule, and if you looked in the FYI section of this morning's paper, you saw an article. Patrick Neese wrote a very nice article about the show, and it really makes you, Devin, sound like a real slave driver with those girls. It talks about the grueling aspects of the show and how the dancers have to be worked to get through. I believe you said in the article, the rigors of the show require a good workout for the dancers, just to be precise.
It is not an easy task to be a professional ballet dancer, and it is a full-time career, which requires a lot of physical work in order to do it. Of course, these dancers are indeed athletes. Not only are they artists, but they're also athletes because they're, you know, being extremely physically active over the course of a day with up to 7.5 hours of actually being on their feet each and every day, 5 days a week. So it can really be quite a grueling schedule, but they love their art form and they want to do it. So
the article mentions, and if you want to see what Devin looks like and some of the people what we're talking about. Turn to that article, and you can see their picture. It's always the audience always likes to put a face, a face with a voice, and they can do that with this. It's in this morning's paper. You talked about the fact that there's 3 lead dancers.
Right, we have 3 casts, and there is the main 2 main roles of the show are Odette, who is the Swan Queen, right. And then she also plays a dual role, that is Odile. So she plays 2 different roles in the same performance, which is a very difficult and challenging aspect of this production for the female lead. And then there's Siegfried, who is the prince. So, and of course, he falls in love with this beautiful maiden, this Swan Maiden. But those are the 2 leads, and we have indeed 3 different casts performing it. One is Liang Fu performing the prince along with Molly Wagner, and then there's Michael Davis performing it with Sarah Chun, and then there's Lamine Pereira performing it with Tempe Ostergren. So those are our 3 casts. And if you want to find out specifically which shows, if you happen to know any of these dancers, because they're all very highly trained individuals who have been on our stages for quite a few years, you know, so if you have a favorite, go to our website, kcballet.org, and you can find out about the casting of any particular show.
So you always want to... I guess it's because they rehearse together. So a particular man with a particular woman. That's the best way to do it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they don't perform with each other as a potted a couple for... I mean, they do other things for different performances besides Swan Lake, I mean. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to create this relationship between the prince and the Swan Queen, you really need to spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks together understanding each other's timing and how you're going to execute the steps. So that takes a lot of work, a lot of rehearsal. And so if you switch off and do it with somebody else at the last minute, that can be quite surprising yeah. for the two individuals that wind up with each other.
Sure. Well, in the article this morning, I keep referring to that because I just read it after
That's
I got up
great.
This morning.
That's great.
It's a great article. Yeah. It is. Molly Wagner talked about the rigors of all that. She said that she had to soak her feet for 10 minutes, then not, and repeat that 10 times.
Right.
Or three times for 10 minutes each section. Is that normal for a dancer to
do? Yeah. At the end of your day, you know, your feet can get pretty darn swollen and pretty kind of like there's a lot of heat, let's call it, that's in your feet. And, you know, that it's ice baths. That's what that's basically. And it kind of flushes out the system and gets your feet back to more normal sort of, you know, pedestrian type of condition. And then you're, you know, and then all this new blood flows into the area after you've done that ice mix three times, you know. So then your new blood goes in the area and kind of flushes out all the bad stuff that's been building up over the course of a day.
Yeah, the music is Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
The music is very recognizable. Those even those who haven't seen the ballet will recognize that music.
Yep, and it has some of the most recognizable dancing in it. Probably, I suspect that there is one particular section in Swan Lake that is probably the most recognizable piece of dancing by anyone. Even if they've never seen dance before, and that's the Four Little Swans, where those four women in Act Two hold each other's hands, and they do all that fancy little footwork, going back and forth. You know, how many comedians have parodied that?
Right?
Carol Burnett, I'm sure, did it. I think Lucille Ball did it. I mean, there are countless. I would love to do a little research on that. It would be quite a fun little thing to find out how many people have parodied it. But, you know, every football team winds up having four guys goofing around with, you know, holding each other's hands and goofing around like that. So it's kind of one of those pieces, and it's fun. I'm glad that people do parody it because it keeps Swan Lake recognizable, even if it's not very pretty looking. It's still
doing parodies of thing is kind of a salute.
That's
to it,
right,
really.
Exactly.
There was a movie a few years ago called Black Swan.
Oh yeah,
about a company doing Swan Lake. Yeah. So keep the cast away from that. But there was quite a rivalry between the dancers in that particular piece.
Yeah, but that's not really.
No, of
that's
course.
A quite exaggerated movie.
Yeah,
our wonderful Kansas City ballet dancers are quite complimentary to each other and very supportive of each other. And, you know, it's really a big family at Kansas City Ballet, and you're all in it together to make the show the best it can be. So I really am proud of our company and how healthy we are inside the studio when we're working.
Sure. Well, a lot of people have seen the various parodies. What about the actual storyline? There is a story. It's a love story.
With
starting the week after Valentine's.
That's right.
Probably appropriate.
Yeah, it is definitely a story of love and of promised love and broken love and forgiven love. Because the prince goes on this journey where he is he's turning 21, you know, he's of age is what it's officially. He's coming of age, and it's time for him to choose a bride. And his mother, the queen, you know, the queen mother, tells him that he needs to choose a bride because it's time for him to take on responsibilities of, you know, leading the kingdom, right? Well, you know, the prince Siegfried isn't really ready for that kind of responsibility. He's a bit rebellious and wants to hold on to his carefree, youthful life. Okay,
who wouldn't?
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
when you're a prince.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you're a prince. Yeah. So he runs off into the forest with his friends, and they go hunting. You know, he gets a really awesome looking crossbow, and they go out in the woods and have a great time looking for something to shoot. Lo and behold, you know, along comes this beautiful swan maiden, this woman who looks like a swan, but's actually a woman, you know, and she's a princess. They're all princesses, all the swans. And she's under a really terrible spell that has been cast upon her and all the other swans, by the evil sorcerer von Rothbart. So he has this incredible power over these women to control them and keep them in this terrible form of, I mean, they're, you know, swans are beautiful, but still it's unfortunate that they're not able to live their lives as they wish to. And they live near a lake that's formed by the tears of their parents who have cried because of their daughters being lost. And this prince comes along, and, you know, there's this one way that this spell can be broken, and that is if somebody vows true love to Odette, the swan maiden. Well, they, over the course of that act, you know, find out that he really does love her and he swears his love to her. And the next day, they have a royal ball. And at the ball is where the mother, Queen Mother, has brought forth six options, princesses, for him to choose from. And he must choose from one of these six, right? again, he's kind of like stuck in this situation where he really doesn't want to do this because now he's sworn his love to somebody else, right?
Not one of the six.
That's right, okay. Not one of the six. And in comes this incredibly powerful-looking woman that's just, like, decked to the nines. She's called Odile, and she's the Black Swan, right? And she is the daughter of von Rothbart. And he has brought his daughter to this party to trick Siegfried into swearing, breaking his vow to Odette and swearing his love to Odile. So that his spell will not be ruined forever, and so his power over these swans will not diminish. Unfortunately, he's successful in that, and he Rothbart causes Siegfried to swear his oath of allegiance and true love to Odile because he has somehow been bewitched into thinking that that is Odette. Through the course of their dancing together. And during Act 3, there's all these wonderful divertissements that come from dances that come from different lands who are there to honor and celebrate the prince's coming of age from Hungary and from Poland and from Spain and Italy. There's fun dances. So there's a lot of dancing in Act 3. And at the end of Act 3, Rothbart reveals to Siegfried that he has been fooled, and Siegfried realizes the terrible mistake that he has made by von Rothbart showing him the white swan who is beating her wings outside the windows of the palace saying, "No, no, no, don't do that. Don't swear your love to her. I'm right here outside the window," right?
Uh-huh.
And he turns him around to show him the white swan just after he's vowed his love to Odile. And this, of course, is heartbreaking, and Siegfried's in terrible mental anguish over this, and he ends up rushing out of the palace to go find Odette, where, you know, Odette was outside the window. So he's after Odette to try and apologize to Odette, and we go to the last act, and
maybe you shouldn't give away everything.
I should keep a little bit back. I'll keep the ending back. So we're not going to say there's a spoiler alert because okay. I'm not going to spoil it. But he goes into Act 4 chasing Odette. We'll just leave the rest of the story for everybody to come and see what happens. Will she forgive him? What happens with that spell? Is the spell broken? Does somebody die? You know, so there's lots that happens in Act 4. A lot of resolution occurs in the last act.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful story and one of such romance and such beautiful lines of music by Tchaikovsky, played by, of course, our fabulous Kansas City Symphony, who are playing with us in the pit every show, which we're so grateful for, under Ramona Panzagrau, our music director, under her baton.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite a romantic evening. And, you know, I can't count the number of times I've heard of people proposing during Swan Lake. It is such a wonderful, perfect moment to propose and swear your true faith and your love to the one you love and want to live the rest of your life with, because it's exactly what happens on stage with the prince, you know. So it's giving his love to Odette. So it is definitely a great night. And of course, you know, Swan Lake is a spectacular, extremely well-known work, classical ballet-wise. It's probably, apart from the Nutcracker, you know, really Swan Lake is the most recognizable. When somebody says, have you been to a ballet, you know, you mean like Swan Lake, you know? So I mean, it is definitely one of those ballets that comes to mind. It's very much on the front of someone's thoughts when you say ballet, it's Swan Lake.
Do you like working with Tchaikovsky? You have?
I have been doing that lately. Yeah. And, you know, he definitely has a way of composing that is very beneficial to dance in its, you know, a lot of beautiful lines of music, phrases that have a great sort of thematic feel to it in the course of a section of music. And Swan Lake is you know, it's like Star Wars practically when it comes to the music. It's you can identify people very clearly by certain phrases of music that come into play throughout the course of the show.
Yeah, we're speaking with Devin Carney, the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet. We're talking about their show Swan Lake, which opens this Friday, the 19th, at 7:30 p.m. at the Muriel Kaufman Theater, the west side of the Kaufman Arts Center. The number to call for more information is 816-931-8993, or you can go online to kcballet.org for more information. We're speaking with Devin and the show, the song. You mentioned there's a section where they get to dance music from different countries. That requires very versatile dancers to be able to do that.
Yes, yes. They are character dances. And, you know, I made these works for the dancers. And, you know, there's certain sort of energy that comes from a tarantella that you don't hear from a chartist and vice versa. So, you know, you have to really get into the music, and the steps have to be such that they reflect the music and reflect the locale as well. But it's really quite exciting to see how the dancers are taking hold of all these different stylistic approaches and having quite a great time. It's going to be a really great performance. I'm really looking forward to it, frankly.
I'm thinking that the costuming must be extensive. You of course have the swans,
right?
But you also have this what would you call it, a big formal banquet, whatever,
right,
type
right.
scene.
Plus there's a party at the beginning. Act 1 is basically a big outdoor party for the prince. You know, it's a birthday party for him, and it's just his friends, and
so
they're out in the forest.
If you're going to appear before the prince and the queen, you must be decked out in the finest period attire, which presents a problem, I guess, for the costumers.
Well, yeah, because, of course, you have to be able to dance. You know, it's not like, you know, when you're singing, such as opera, you know, it's more about the full look of the costume, which is, you can make these beautiful big skirts and dresses and large vest coats, and you know, all of this material weighs a dancer down. So, you know, dance is fairly unique when it comes to the necessity for more lightweight materials. And you know, Act 1 is full of dancing, and it's all skirts and jackets for the men and women. And Act 2, well, that's the classic white act, right, where you see the swans, which are beautiful. And then we go to Act 3, which is these dances from different regions. And that's where you'll see our heaviest costuming. Very colorful, though, very pretty. And then we go back to the white act of Act 4. And, you know, one thing about Swan Lake that's really I'm really happy about is that we have 24 women performing in the corps de ballet of Swan Lake. And, you know, I really wanted to bring to Kansas City a proper telling of the story of what Swan Lake should look like, because it is possible to reduce the swans down to a smaller number, but it, you know, it looks a little thin in the core, if that's the right way to put it. You know, there's just not as many people standing on the stage or all dancing at once. And the power of 24 women moving simultaneously, breathing as one, is just transcendent. It is a sight to behold, and it's hard to describe, you know, to see 24 sets of arms lifting like swan wings and then dropping like swan wings. Uh-huh. And the head goes up as the arms go up, and the heads go down as the arms go down. But to see that over the entire stage is just such a gorgeous thing to witness. And was my dedication to the presentation of this production, was that it was going to be done right if we're going to do it.
And you have Cynthia Gregory on board, working with the main dancers. She danced this ballet herself when she was 20 years old.
Yeah. Cynthia is a very wonderful individual who I've known since I was 16 or so. And she turns out that she became the prima ballerina for American Ballet Theater in 69. And she was with them for, 21 years, 1990, she stopped dancing. But she was, when she made her way onto the dance scene and had her first opportunity to perform the lead role, Odette Odile, for Swan Lake, it became very apparent quite quickly that her interpretation was going to be one that everybody else would measure themselves against. Mm. And you know, she is renowned across the world for her interpretation of Odette. So, knowing that we were going to be doing Swan Lake, I've done Swan Lake before. I did it for Cincinnati Ballet. And Cynthia came and coached those Odettes in Cincinnati Ballet. And her, how she raised the women to a whole new level was quite exciting to see. And I definitely, when I came here, I wanted to bring that experience to our female leads, because, you know, it's a very short career, and it's really important to get the best of the best experience that you can possibly have. And that's why I asked Cynthia to come and coach, and she was here for about 5 days. And it was quite intensive, but quite wonderful to watch her become Odette as well, and for her to demonstrate. I mean, she's not young by any means, but when she would stand up and start moving her arms, her whole posture would change. She would straighten up, and her neck would get longer, and her arms would just change into these swan wings when she would say, "Now you have to bend from the elbow, wrist, fingers, and let the life of a swan breathe through your arms." You know, and that's the kind of experience that I can only dream of having from the lead roles in our production of Swan Lake. And I'm really grateful that she was able to give us the time, because her expertise is invaluable to be able to have that opportunity to work with a living legend. Even if it's brief, it certainly is going to keep pushing our ladies the right direction toward the audiences here in Kansas City, of having the opportunity to see the best possible production that we can afford here for Kansas City.
Sure. Well, let's look at the particulars. It opens on Friday the 19th at 7:30. Performances continue on Saturday the 20th at 7:30. Sunday afternoon the 21st, a matinee in the afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. Then the next week, they begin on Thursday the 25th at 7:30. Friday the 26th at 7:30, two performances. Now, that might be hard on the dancers. We'll find out. Saturday the 27th in the afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. Then that evening, the 27th in the evening at 7:30 p.m. And then it wraps up on Sunday the 28th with another afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. All performances are at the Muriel Kaufman Theater in the Kaufman Center for Performing Arts. The number to call for questions and more information is 816-931-8988. 1-800-259-9993 or online at kcballet.org. And you can click through. You can get all that information and perhaps make your plans online as well. To see Swan Lake, part of the season of the Kansas City Ballet. This is not the last show of the season, though. You have
no. We've got a couple more things to do. We've got our New Moves production, which is done in our in-house fabulous theater at the Bollinger Center for Dance and Creativity, and that's where we have emerging choreographers, and they create 6 world premieres. Some of them are our dancers in the company, and some of them are guests from other areas of the country. So that's happening next. That's April 1st through 9th. And then we finish the season with a really incredible mix of different short, not short works, they're like 20-minute works each, 25, with a work from Yuri Posikov, who is the resident choreographer for San Francisco Ballet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Helen Pickett, who is the resident choreographer for Atlanta Ballet. Victor Plotnikov, who comes to us from the New England area, who's done a lot of choreography in Europe. And we close that show and the season with a spectacular production of Rite of Spring by Adam Hoagland with the full orchestration, the full-length orchestration played by Kansas City Symphony in the Pit. It is going to be an amazing conclusion to the year with Rite of Spring. I mean, that score is spectacular. I mean, and it was controversial when it first came to light, when it was first performed. People stormed out of the theater. There was just such an uproar. But, you know, it's a classic. It's such an iconic musical work and very powerful. And I'm very excited about presenting the first Rite of Spring for Kansas City Ballet as well.
Yeah, you guys plan some of the best things, the ballet, some of the best shows, and try to get the best performers.
Absolutely.
And the best choreographers and helpers and all
That's
of that.
It.
You go all out at the Kansas City Ballet.
We do that.
You do,
right.
You do
that. Show the city deserves that.
Show opens this Friday evening, the 19th of February at 7:30 p.m. for basically 2 weekends,
right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then the next week, Thursday, Friday, 2 on Saturday and 1 on Sunday at the Muriel Kaufman Theater, part of the Kaufman Center for the Performing Arts. 816-931-8993 or go online at kcballet.org. Devin, of course, I remember Hales from New Orleans.
That's right.
Do you like Do you miss not being around there during this time of the year?
Mardi Gras.
That's right.
I know. Yeah, the king baby, you know, king cake with the little baby inside and the purple, green, and yellow beads and yelling at people, hey, throw me something, you know, down in the quarter, all that. So, yeah, I miss it a little bit. But, you know, we got a lot of wonderful things going on here that really keeps me preoccupied.
You can always go to one of the New Orleans-style restaurants in
town.
That's true.
That's true.
And you can get a little taste. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely.
Us.
Thank
Devin
you, Devin
Carney, Artistic Director of the Kansas City Ballet. They're opening their much-looked-forward-to show, Swan Lake, this Friday, 816-931-8993, or online at kcballet.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yes,
keep working
you.
Those people.
All right, we will.
So nice to see you. When we return after our break, it's President's Day, as you know. And we have a man going to come on the show, and he's doing a show tonight, actually, and will be dedicating it to all 41 presidents. 44. There's 44. All 44 presidents. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And don't forget some of the other arts programming here on KKFI. We have Arts Magazine here on Monday. We have Art Speak Radio on Wednesday with Maria Vasquez Boyd. Other programs as well. We'll have guests from the artistic community. All part of the arts lineup here on KKFI as we try to blanket the city with arts coverage here on Community Radio 90.1 FM KKFI. Well, welcome back to the Arts Magazine show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. We're your community radio station right here in Kansas City, and thank all of you for your support at our last fun drive, 1 or 2 weeks ago now. A great time is had by all. It's called a fun drive, and it's serious, of course, but the fun part of Fun Drive is also a big part of it, too. Bear that in mind. But thank all of you for your support. Today is President's Day. It's kind of sparse around the office here today. A lot of people actually think they can take the day off.
What?
I know.
I'm doing two shows tonight.
That's right. I know. You're going to be busy. Ron Kincaid is with us, and he is doing a show called Presidential Briefs. It was big during the Fringe Festival last July.
That's right.
One of the more attended shows.
That's right. It was very nice at the Buffalo Room, where I'm doing the show tonight, the two shows tonight. I debuted this unusual, bizarre work where I sang 44 songs about all 44 presidents in under an hour. Why?
Because it's President's Day, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
It used to just be called George Washington's Birthday, and it was always on George Washington's birthday. Mm-hmm. Well, then they added Lincoln to the mix, mm-hmm. but they still had it on this particular day. Mm-hmm. But then Lyndon Johnson came along, and he had the idea that it should be all presidents, and it should be President's Day, and their birthday is all on the same day in February. So I guess if you were elected president, your birthday, no matter when it was, would be celebrated on this day.
I didn't even know Johnson made this a holiday.
I believe that's right.
That's not in my Johnson song.
So that's I'm sure you have a lot of other interesting things.
There's some other tidbits.
Several presidents named Johnson, of course. But you're going to cover all 44 of them mm-hmm. in song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how long is this show? Like 3-4 hours long?
No. You would think so. Okay, 44 presidents. But I think... we all remember American history.
We do.
Meaning we don't remember much about American history. So I think it's you can only save in your brain about one or two tidbits about any one of these dead white guys. So
only 43 of them.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, I'm not wishing anybody ill. I write it's – averaging about a minute long. Some are shorter, some are longer. And I play with the idea, say, William Henry Harrison, he had the shortest presidency.
Oh, yeah. Was it, what, a month or two?
It was about a month, yeah. And his isn't the shortest song. So I play with – the idea is not to make up stuff about the presidents. The show is set like the audience is a class. And it's me. It's a one-man show. And I go on stage as if I'm a teacher. And I sing to the backing tracks that I recorded at home. I know what you're thinking, Michael. That's like karaoke, like glorified karaoke.
Mm, well,
glorioki.
Glorioki would be a good way to put it, yeah.
Which is not a real word. I don't know what I was talking about.
Well, you were talking about things. I have a question. Did you write this yourself?
I wrote the music and the lyrics and the choreography.
Well, that's quite a job. 44 songs, and you tailored one to each president. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Do you do it in order, or do you check
it's in chronological order. So get there at the beginning. That's Andrew Jackson. No! George Washington.
Well, you would think I'm going to do this Johnny Carson style. You would think that everything there is to know about the American presidents would be in these songs.
You would think of this like a rock and roll Wikipedia version of your United States presidents.
What can you say, for instance, about George Washington?
Sure.
That has never been said before. We all know the cannot tell a lie.
Sure, sure.
Throw a coin across the Potomac.
Some of that may make an appearance, but I think maybe most people know, but right at the beginning I say what I say. First president and commander-in-chief, quite the surveyor of land. And it goes on from there. I can't give it all away.
Of course,
it's 43 seconds long.
And I don't want you to. I don't want to, because that would be not incentive for there to come. And there are two performances tonight on President's Day. If you're going to do a show like this, President's Day, we do. In fact, when you were doing the show at the Fringe last summer, you were probably wishing it could be some kind of President's Day celebration.
Because
it would have made it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But it's at the Buffalo Room. Now, the Buffalo Room is in the back and west side of the Westport Flea Market Bar and Grill that is on in the heart of Westport here, 817 actually, Westport Road, really close to where our studios used to be.
That's right.
We were right above the French restaurant that on the corner across the street. So
that was the last time. I think
now, the Buffalo Room, it used to be where Comedy Sports used to do their shows.
Yes, and now it's operated by local theater bon vivant, V. Tran, and he's done a great job getting all kinds of acts there. Burlesque, folk groups, comedy groups still. Really ridiculous shows about the presidents. I'll do one tonight.
Two performances, actually, 7 o'clock p.m. and 9:30 p.m. So, in theory, you could go see a show and then have something to eat.
That's
could work it all in.
In fact, there are some other shows going on tonight, maybe around 7 o'clock, so you can catch that one. Then come to the late 9:30. It might be a little saucier.
Would you rather have people at the 7 or the 9:30?
I don't think it matters. I've had some success at the Buffalo Room, where I played this before, at a place where alcohol is served. Uh-huh. But I've had success.
Makes it a little interesting.
Maybe.
Most of the presidents, well, not all, but most of our presidents have been known to put back a few.
Yeah. Maybe there's some mention of that as well. But I've had success at the local libraries where I put it on. And I definitely didn't intend on the average age of the audience member of this show being older than what I expected, because these are rock songs. These are, I don't know, Randy Newman, They Might Be Giants, Schoolhouse Rock type of thing. But I'm finding that a lot of older people like their history, and luckily they haven't thrown tomatoes or anything.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Randy Newman, so I have to insert here one of the most non-politically correct song people around. Do you remember Short People?
Of course.
And all of the controversy that called. He was just having fun.
Yeah.
But was he put down for that song?
Yeah. And it's funny about presidential briefs. I intentionally didn't take sides politically. Because I think that's not what a history teacher would do. Right?
Oh, there's enough humor to be dwelled without taking sides.
Oh my goodness! There's like you said, there's booze, there's women, there's lots of bizarre things.
These things did not come with modern age. It went way back. There was a phrase, George Washington slept here all over New England. There's many, many old hotels that say that.
And what did that mean?
Yes. What in the world did that happen? And they say George Washington, of course, if I'm ruining your material.
No.
They say that George Washington is the father of our country. And actually, in actuality, George Washington had no children of his own.
Hey, that's very good. So I'm writing this stuff down. I got to add to the songs.
Of course, he wore those. Why did they wear those powdered wigs, Ryan? Why did they do
that? That's the thing. I mean, when I was doing my research, which was very little, I mean, enough to make it historically accurate. But you look at these portraits or photos of these people who led the country, and they were very important men. You want to think about that, but then you go, look at those mutton chops. I mean, that's incredible. Look at that facial hair. And so sometimes that's what the song ends up being about.
Yeah. Well, you have to say something. Some presidents are more memorable than others.
Mm-hmm.
As you look over some of the careers of some of these presidents, sometimes it's a very short little piece. Sometimes it goes on for pages and pages and pages.
Right.
So, some served more distinguishedly than others.
Yes. And that's the challenge. I mean, I could have written a number of things about Eisenhower. But I think maybe a tidbit I remember is that the highway system is called the Eisenhower Interstate System. So I was like, well, that's – maybe I'd focus the whole song on that, make it kind of like a 50s rockabilly type of song, which is even – it's Dwight Eisenhower's time. So I focus on taking a road trip. Thanks to Dwight D. Eisenhower.
That's right. Our basic interstate freeway system was created under his administration.
Yeah,
shall we say?
So some of them have more historical significance than the size of Chester Arthur's sideburns.
But hey, everyone has something to hang their hat on, so to speak. Like, for instance, our own Harry S. Truman from the state of Missouri.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, do come. Try to come tonight, 7 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. at the Buffalo Room. But Harry Truman's song is one of the rare, not-so-funny songs. It is definitely, you know, I pay homage to his local roots. But you'll have to come hear it.
That's right. Was there one president that was harder to find material for than any others?
Sure. I mean, there's a slew right in a row where you're like, Franklin Pierce, Zachary Taylor. And, who are these people with the funny hair? But you find out that they were maybe popular. Maybe they were just rushed into office. I mean, everybody loved them, but they were boozing too much and, you know,
Well, a lot of them were military heroes. Like you mentioned, Zachary Taylor. Mm-hmm. Was he not a veteran of the Mexican War? And that's probably
how he... I got to write this down, too.
But wasn't that part of... You think the reason that he was propelled into office?
I think what prevented him from accomplishing much was death 1 year into office. So,
that's true. Well, it makes one memorable.
It does.
To a degree. You know, you remember the ones that died in office.
Yes.
More so than the ones that successfully served a long time and just kind of faded into history.
Yeah.
If one can do that.
You know, what's the joke about Lincoln? You know, you're not supposed to make a joke about Lincoln too soon. Well, it's not about any one of those who died, you know.
Well, sure.
Really?
Only in recent years have some of the comedians, at risk of my saying this, and I suppose I am, but a well-known comedian I won't name, because I don't want him to think I'm stealing his material, but I am. He said, Mrs. Lincoln, other than the obvious, did you like the play?
Oh, good.
I've heard that one recently.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But, you know, kind of a dark humor. Mm-hmm. About
that. Yeah.
But a number of years, you're right, a number of years has to pass before this is thought of.
And I'm factual. With my goofy songs.
Yeah.
I feel.
Like, now, one of the more obscure ones, and I know a comedian who does an imitation of Millard Fillmore. And of course, no one knows what Millard Fillmore sounds like, so just about anything you do will suffice.
That's pretty good.
All you have to do is basically say, hi, I'm Millard Fillmore.
That's pretty good. Well, I think, if you'll indulge me, that's one of my more a cappella numbers.
Really?
I could do a bit of Millard Fillmore. Let's see. When she had had her baby, what could she possibly have meant? Millard Fillmore, I know a little more of the 13th president. And that's what you have in store for you, 7 p.m.
That's right. And he being the 13th president, there may be some significance to that there. You never know. You never know. Some president, you probably had a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of material on more recent modern-day presidents.
Sure. And that's what I kind of thought about with the revered Lincoln. I mean, what do you do? Do you list all the things? Do you focus on one thing? I toyed with the title. I talk about, he did a lot, so you better write it down in the Lincoln log.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lincoln log.
Yeah, he invented Lincoln log. No. Just kidding.
But yeah, more recent presidents, it's that fine line. You don't want to say, I agreed with his politics or I didn't agree with his politics. But I feel like I'm towing a line that's, I don't know, it's a good history lesson rather than a, hey, this guy, I didn't like that guy. It's funny, during the Fringe show, somebody did write a review, meaning a post, about my show, and he's like, I didn't like it. He was too, he leaned one way rather than the other. And so I wrote back, I was like, screw those Whigs.
Well, there was parties even then.
Right.
There were the Democrats, and then there were the Whigs,
right.
And they were at odds with each other, mostly over what should be a slave state and what should be a free state.
Right, right.
You know? But that was a big deal back then.
It was a huge deal.
It was a humongous deal. And the way the country is shaped now is, is a result of some of those disagreements that they had. And so you have to take this into consideration that they had their own rivalries, just like today.
Yeah.
Discourse today is not really any different from those days. In fact, in some respects, it might have been worse. It just didn't get large media coverage the way it gets today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And dirtier. I bet it was.
I think it was
filthier.
Pretty dirty. Yeah.
Lots of more hair.
So my humble opponent smells like a goat.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. It was kind of popular. I guess. And you refer to their sobriety quite often.
Oh yeah. It's all there. And I what I'm proud of when I look back at it. You know, after an hour, it's pretty much American history. You know, I mentioned wars, I mentioned civil, you know, rights. I don't know what else is there. I mean, baseball is mentioned in there. I mean, it's all American history is part of this short rocking hour.
Yeah, one of the more interesting ones from what you study about him, Teddy Roosevelt.
He was tougher than a wild boar. He's the fourth guy that was carved in Mount Rushmore.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he's up there on Mount Rushmore. Did you focus on the four on Mount Rushmore?
Those four, they're on there for a reason. Okay. So I think, did I consciously do more about them? No. It's about finding one bit of information that might stick and help with the catchy music that I wrote.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt's kind of unusual. I think he was a Republican and had his time in office, left, decided to run again. He wasn't satisfied with the way those who
with the party, went after him. With the political party he helped to found.
And then he came back and ran independently the Bull Moose Party.
That's right.
So they'll refer to him as the Bull Moose sometimes.
Come tonight, you might learn more about that.
Oh, yeah. But you know, a man, you know, the teddy bear is named after him. I'm not stealing your material.
You are adding to the to the amazingness of there's more about that.
But, you know, the United States has a fine tradition of scandalous presidents, not in the modern era only, but probably even more.
I kind of played with that. People, when I tell them about the show, they're like, Bill Clinton, what did you write about? Bill Clinton. And so I said, well, the music's very sultry. It's very seductive. So I lead in with this, you know, seductive music. And then the only lyrics that I say are pieces of legislation that he was a part of. So I can't do it justice without my sexy keyboard.
Oh, well, we understand completely.
But I think that dichotomy of, you know, sexy music and the Dayton Accords and, you know, the Brady Bill.
Sure.
You know, is a strange thing. And, you know, there you go.
What was the process like? Here you have 44 presidents.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me you started back with the 40th. Right.
No,
but you knew you had to write about 44 of these guys. And so it had to be something different about each one. And I don't know. Some had to have been harder than others.
I think, here's the genesis of this project. A couple of years ago, January 1st, or right before, I said, yep, I'm going to sit down and write and record a song every day of the year. Foregoing family and friend relationships and doing this project, which was a dumb idea. I got through May. I got about through May, which is quite a few tidbits of songs. So once you get, you know, try to figure out songs in late March, you're like, I can't write about love anymore. I'm gonna write about boogers or tamales or presidents. So I think my first song was Franklin Pierce or Benjamin Harrison. I don't know. It was a goofy idea. So I had about four or five of those. That was a couple of years ago. And then I thought, well, I have these song ideas along with some other things that I've written, and songwriters are like this. You just kind of write tidbits and store them away. So I thought, well, maybe I could do it. Maybe I could do all 44. So I took some ideas that I already had musically, added some goofy lyrics to some of those ideas, made up some new songs, and pretty soon you got 44.
Yeah. Well, the president, Andrew Johnson, that served after Lincoln.
Yeah.
Had some accomplishments, certainly, with Reconstruction.
He certainly did.
But he was not a very popular man at all.
No.
No one wanted him to succeed Lincoln, but the law was the law, and he did.
And it's like you're reading my mind, Michael, because that song kind of points to that. I mean, Lincoln, you know, revered, and I try to play with that in the song before, but then the mood changes with Johnson for his 36 seconds or whatever it is. And, you know, the people couldn't choose. He was the guy in charge and was like, oh, well, I'll do my best.
And then you have Ulysses Grant,
yeah,
who served after that, was another general from wartime.
Exactly.
This tends to be a theme throughout American history.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but he was also known for his imbibing.
Yes, he was. He was. And there may be mention of who is buried in Grant's tomb.
The song
alludes to that. And it's funny, that period of time, you're pretty good with your presidential history.
Oh, man. Boned up a little.
But it's funny that maybe that period is not so memorable, but that stretch of presidents are probably my favorite songs because I have fun with those songs.
Sure.
Grant and Hayes. Rutherford B. Hayes is one of my favorite songs. You'll have to catch it.
That's true. Well, you'll have the chance tonight, President's Day evening, perfect day for it. It's going to be at the Buffalo Room. The quote I took here, bitchin' and bipartisan, best way to be. That way you can have fun with both, and neither side can say anything.
Right.
Two shows tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. and 9:30 p.m. tonight at the Buffalo Room. That is in the back and on the west side of the Westport Flea Market Bar and Grill, 817 Westport Road. If you MapQuest things, it's 64111. That's the zip code to use. Salute to all 44 presidents, 44 songs. it's going to be challenging.
It's a marathon.
But you did that many times during the Fringe, mm-hmm. so you've probably got it all down.
It's all there.
That's right. Saw you most recently in the 1 Minute Play Festival. How many of those were you in? You came and went.
I acted in a couple and I wrote a couple. And that was great. That was a great experience. I mean, there were 60, 70 theater people involved, all from Kansas City. I mean, a really unique experience that Heidi Van brought to us.
Sure.
It was great.
Now, you studied playwriting at UMKC, attended Rockhurst mm-hmm. as well, I believe.
I'm a local boy. Harry Truman would be proud.
That's right. Well, we hope so. What else have they seen you in recently around here?
I don't know. I am a musician and getting back into acting. I like that very much. Who knows? I've done a couple of educational, goofy plays. I've written these things. I wrote a Canterbury Tales musical a few years ago. That was at the Fringe Festival. I hope to mount that again. That was fun to get so many good friends and theater people involved. And I took to Edinburgh a few years ago, not just for The Birds, which is my aviation history play. Weird. I didn't think I'd be researching Wikipedia so in depth. No, I mean, it's actual research. It's not Wikipedia.
Humor comes with an educational twist to it sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Ry Kincaid, his show tonight, two performances, Presidential Briefs, a salute in song to all 44 presidents, bitchin' and bipartisan, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. at the Westport Flea Market Bar and Grill, 817 Westport Road. Do they need to make reservations?
No. Just
show up?
Yep. Lots of food and stuff.
Do you allow adult beverages during the show?
Yes.
It's encouraged, probably.
Well, it is funny, as it is.
In the vein of the presidents, adult beverages will be welcomed at the door. Thanks so much for being with us. Ry Kincaid, again, Presidential Briefs, tonight. A salute to all 44 presidents at the Buffalo Room in the Westport Flea Market Bar and Grill. Only tonight. Maybe he'll bring it back in
absolutely
in a Fringe Festival some other time.
It's an election year. I'm touring it. I'm going to Wichita and Des Moines. There are more cities in the works. It's good. I'm campaigning.
That's all right. And with some of the people running this year, just think of the material you'll have when you do 45 presses.
Whoever wins.
That's right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Michael.
The Jazz Insider is next. Sam Wiseman. He's going to be playing some of the finest jazz in town. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next, we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road.